My goodness, if you had asked me 2 weeks ago what I thought would be the main subject of this episode from The Latest from Spain, brought to you by Brian Spain Domain, I can promise you that it might have been something to do with the political situation, possibly something to do with the Women's Soccer World Cup victory, but never in my life would I have predicted a scandal that is rocking this country on so many levels and gobbling up space, time and attention in media outlets throughout the world. I'm talking about the Luis Rubiales case, or the famous Kiss case. But before we get to that, let's get to a couple of other things. First of all, trying to form a new government. The different parties met with the King of Spain, Felipe VI, in the first round of talks on the investiture of the new government. Felipe, according to law, puts forth a candidate for the position of prime minister, which then needs to be voted on in parliament. Neither side, that is the conservatives and the liberals, has managed enough guaranteed support to win the vote, so Felipe chose the Partido Popular candidate, Alberto Feijóo, because his party won the popular vote in the election, but with a result that was well below expectations. And even a joint venture with the far-right party Vox, which many people in Spain are not particularly excited about, falls short of the 176 votes needed. And the second most voted party, the Socialist Party, PSOE, has been trying to string together a coalition with a long list of partners, some of whom are parties that are in favor of independence from Spain, and making compromising demands, and that is making things complicated for the socialists. So anyway, the king is giving the most voted party a chance to pull something off. He has until the end of September to form a government, which, as things stand, seems unlikely. We'll keep you updated there. The final word on the summer heat was that it was, in the end, a pretty hot summer overall. It was pretty good in the first half, but it sort of got warmer and warmer in the second half, and I'd say the worst moment sort of came in the second part of August, but the heat wave suddenly snapped a few days ago, rather dramatically, so we are enjoying better weather. In fact, this is now the prime time for the gota fría, which is a phenomenon known as Dana or Dana, D-A-N-A. And it's a weather situation that occurs at this time of year, and it often brings torrential downpours and huge flash flooding, especially to the eastern half of the country and the islands. And in fact, I think in Baleares, for example, in the Balearic Islands, they've been experiencing some of that, and it looks like we have storms coming up next week. So now let's go to the main news of this episode, as opposed to many other episodes that I do. I usually have to give a lot of background information, but I almost feel as if this one is so well known internationally that I don't have to. But just in case, let me bring you up to date. Now, first of all, the good news. The Spanish women's soccer team or football team, I'm sort of stuck between which one to use here, won the tournament, the World Cup, for the first time against all odds. I'll explain why that was in a second, and in a convincing manner with a fantastic 1-0 victory over England in the final. It was an amazing win for this team and a crowning moment for a program that has come a very long way in a record short time. And I can sort of personally vouch for that because I remember what the soccer situation was like about 10 or 12 years ago when my daughter played some soccer, and you had small schools playing with major clubs because there just wasn't enough there. But it's really come a long way. And in Spain, football traditionally was associated with boys. It was a boys' sport. So this achievement is fantastic and deserving of our admiration. Spain went to the World Cup as a team that should have been a favorite, but instead was sort of an underdog, not because of the quality of its players or its play, because both are great, but rather because of a series of incidents in the past year that left out many of the original players from the squad. 15 players last year sort of made a stand against the Spanish Royal Football Federation in protest to the conditions and terms of the women's team, especially in contrast to the men's team. They also had plenty of complaints about their coach, Jorge Vilda. The federation, led by its president, Luis Rubiales, pretty much stood its ground and told the players to apologize and basically put up and shut up or go home. Most of the players chose the latter. But in the end, a few months later, the federation made some modifications and some concessions, and a few of the players reconsidered. But in the end, only three out of the original recalcitrant 15 joined the team for the trip to New Zealand. A few weeks later, the Spanish team wins the final and raises the cup. And you start to think, well, they went through some rough times, but at least in the end, they won. Justice was served. It was sort of an all's well that ends well moment. Not so fast. First of all, despite the obvious euphoria everyone was feeling, the relationship with their coach still wasn't great. The differences hadn't been fully mended, and a number of great players had to stay home by choice of the federation. Things were a little bit tense, and you could sort of sense that from the way they were celebrating. And then things got weird. The Spanish team was going up to the podium to receive their medals. There was Queen Leticia of Spain and her daughter, the Infanta, which is the princess, Sofia. They were there to congratulate them. And then you had the bigwigs of the football world, including Rubiales. Now remember, Rubiales had just come down from the VIP box, along with members of the royal family, where he had just been caught on camera grabbing his crotch in sort of a classic old school Latino fashion of like, take that, we're the best. This lewd and coarse gesture is no longer as common as it used to be here and generally limited to very specific circles and circumstances, but it is generally seen as totally inappropriate, much less coming from the head of Spain's football federation and doing it in public on live TV. It basically defied all logic. Anyway, back to the award ceremony. At this point, the celebration really took off. There was a lot of hugging and embracing. Even the queen broke a little from protocol and allowed a hug instead of what was usually called for, I would say a handshake. But then when it came to Rubiales, things seemed a little bit off, like a little bit too much. I was watching this with six other people. There were six of us actually watching the match, and we all started commenting on how sort of over the top the president was acting. This is what our impression was live. Almost immediately came the famous or infamous kiss, which to be honest with you, I actually missed. I don't know how. I guess my head was turned away at the moment. But others saw it and were commenting. Anyway, he grabs Jenny Hermoso's head on both sides and planted a smooch on the lips, and she walked away quickly. It was also unusual because she was the only one he did that to, which made it odder. But let's be honest here. This wasn't the only thing he did. He had long, really tight hugs with the others, kisses on the neck, kisses on the cheek, and we were all like, you know, what is this guy doing? Now, to be fair, it is true that in Spain, people can be a lot more tactile, more physical contact, more huggy, more kissy. In fact, Rubiales hugged and gave head coach Jorge Vilda a kiss on the cheek, and that's not unusual, but there was something a little bit different here, and in our opinion, he was overdoing it. And let's not forget that this guy is basically their boss. And it seemed as if he were taking liberties that exceeded his position. So what I'm trying to say is that from minute one, people who were watching this were also a bit surprised how this guy was behaving. And we sort of predicted the storm that would come afterwards. What we didn't imagine, it would become so big. And part of this had to do with the fact that this questionable behavior was made worse by the way both Rubiales and his organization handled the fallout. Mostly men trying to dismiss it as nothing but a minor deal. Who cares about that? That's no big deal. And this, of course, only pissed off people even more. Rubiales finally apologized, but it didn't come across as very sincere And Prime Minister Sanchez warned that saying sorry was not enough, basically insinuating that greater measures needed to be taken. Pressure mounted. The news began to go international, and then it was announced that the Federation was going to hold a meeting the following Friday. And so the night before, it was all but a foregone conclusion that Rubiales was going to resign that next day. So Friday comes, and to everybody's surprise, Rubiales announces in a defiant tone that he has no intention of stepping down. He says it up to six times to the applause of many of the members of the assembly. And so all hell breaks loose, and now the country is outraged by the arrogance and the insensitivity. He definitely has some support from some people, but overall most Spaniards are pretty disgusted. And not just by the kiss itself, I think it's more the whole situation. The news went viral, hitting the headlines of many newspapers around the world. The FIFA, the international governing body of football or soccer, suspended Rubiales for 90 days and demanded he not be in touch with Jenny Hermoso until a final decision has been made. The entire women's soccer team refused to play the next official game until he goes. Then finally, the Federation suspended Rubiales without pay indefinitely and also without the official car and other perks. But for the moment, he remains president of the Federation. Looking down the road, there is concern about how this situation, and especially if Rubiales does not resign, how that will affect Spain's chances of hosting the 2030 World Cup, which it was going to co-host with Portugal and Morocco. It was a good candidacy and certainly one of the favorites. But if this situation isn't resolved properly, it could have a very detrimental effect on their chances. And that's where things stand. A crisis of enormous proportions, a debate on the reality of women's sports in this country, a male dominant sector, a debate about sexism, machoism, abuse of power. And also then you have a debate about the media and social networks who have also been scrutinized for sort of fanning the fire. To make things even more dramatic, Rubiales' mother seems to have been especially affected by the news and at one point was holding out inside a church and had gone on a hunger strike for 3 days. I think she's currently in the hospital, but stable as far as I know. Many are criticizing the fact that too much attention is being given to the scandal and not enough to the great victory, but others argue that this may be the battle to fight to correct a situation that has been plaguing women's sports and women in work, for that matter, for far too long. This is an ongoing situation, so we'll have to wait and see what happens, and we'll let you know when we have an outcome. But I'll end it on a bright note, and that is regarding the amazing, fantastic win by the women's Spanish team in the World Cup. It was well-deserved, and hopefully it will be the first of many trophies to come in the future, as well as an inspiration for many young girls to start playing football and prove what they can do. Congratulations there. And that'll be all for this episode of The Latest from Spain, brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. We hope it's been helpful and informative. Please leave comments or questions. We love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can support us by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. You can also check us out on our new YouTube channel called Brian Spain Domain. Go there, subscribe, and enjoy the videos. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.